Glory to God. Well, we're going back in our teaching again this morning, talking about receiving the power of God. We're dealing with the power of God, doing this different than I've ever taught along this line, as ever how the Holy Spirit leads. You know, I do studying, and I sat down and did some studying, and especially yesterday I put some things together, and then the Holy Spirit later on in the evening started to talk to me about certain things within it. I got a sense to emphasize a certain thing, but then the Holy Spirit started talking to me, and we changed that. But we want to be led by the Spirit in this, especially dealing with the power of God. There's in the church world today as a whole, not everybody. There's, thank God for the churches out here that are flowing and flowing with God, and flowing concerning the power of God. But we've left generally in the body of Christ has left the things concerning the power of God. People want the power of God, but you know, you need to understand is a lot of the church world doesn't even understand what the power of God even is. And when they don't even know it's what's in its demonstration, we think, you know, that the power of God is just when a miracle takes place. And lots of times, there's one thing that Kenneth Wayne Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen's son, said. He said many times people are looking for the spectacular and miss the supernatural. And that's what we do. We get over, you know, and we just look at something. And as understanding when God's power is moving and when it's working. One of the things is in the area of the power of God is we have, and I'm just going to read because we talked about these things before, but I just want to do a little introduction on this. Is, you know, in Luke, the 24th chapter, now Luke wrote the book of Luke, but also he wrote Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. And really, Acts of the Apostles, if you take Luke and add the Acts to it, it just follows right suit from Jesus' ascension on through. And so it was really done in a chronological order. And but we want to look at some at this, what Luke said in Luke 24, starting verse 46, it says, "Then he," this is Jesus, "said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now look at that. He told them that the preaching, this message is supposed to be preached, he said, in all the world. And he said, starting in Jerusalem. Now I want you to understand, he said that, but then listen what else he goes along and said. He said, "You're going to be witnesses of these things." But then he says, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." In other words, he said, don't go anywhere. Don't start this preaching thing. Don't go out here and go doing this thing till you get the power. Now the word "endued" there, we don't use that in our vernacular. Actually, that word means it's in a sense is like sinking. Actually, it's the idea of sinking into a garment, and it is the fact of what it means to be invest with clothing, literally or figuratively. If it means to be arrayed with clothes or with, it's to put on. In other words, there's something to be put on. See, the baptism in the Holy Ghost is about putting something on. It's something that's on you. It's like the anointing to preach for me. It's what comes on me. You know, it's like this morning down here, it's like I come in and the Holy Ghost is talking to me, but I don't have any sense of the anointing on me. And this morning I was just walking back and forth here and praying and that stuff. I come in here early. I leave home about 7:30 and come in here and I just pray and walk around and, you know, Holy Spirit's right. Now, I didn't have any sense. In fact, when we started worship, I had less of a sense, I think, of anointing than I did when I was walking around and praying. But, you know, it's one of the things is you operate by faith. It's number one, to minister the words, you need the anointing. You can minister by your own smarts and by your own whatever you got or whatever you think. You can go, is out here today. We have people that go out here and they take, you know, in public speaking courses and they learn how to use psychology to manipulate crowds. Churches, ministers do it all the time. They learn how to manipulate a crowd, how to get a crowd to do what they want them to do. And number one, I don't want to be manipulated. Because you need to understand, there's people do this all the time. There's people get worked into a frenzy concerning things about giving and doing stuff, working in Christ. There's one thing is I never push and make any big deals on those things. If I have to turn around and pull your leg and get a hold of your arm and twist it or whatever it is to get you to give, dear God, forget it. It ain't going to do any good. You ain't getting nothing out of it anyhow. But you know, most ministers don't care. It's what they get out of it. You know, you got to want to give. You got to want to be blessed yourself. And so we want to minister by the anointing. The anointing has an effect on people. And so we want to flow in that. And Jesus said, there's the promise of the Father. Don't go till you get this. Don't start the preaching till you get it. Literally, the Lord showed me and spoke to me years ago about this. He said, people aren't supposed to go preaching until they get baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know, I would hate to be spirit-filled and be a minister. I'd hate it. Because, I mean, I already tasted this thing, and I just can't imagine going back to something dead like giving information. My words, PennDOT will give you information. You know, you just go on their site. They got all kind of information on stuff. You're going to get information. You get information everywhere. But we're talking about the anointing of God bringing revelation to people. And so it's clothed. In fact, a number of translations, in fact, there's many translations use the word to be clothed with power from on high is what they were supposed to do. Now, Luke wrote in Acts 1:4, and he said in the fourth verse of Acts, the first chapter, he said, in being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And then in verse 8, he said, what? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that's, here we know is receiving the power of God. In other words, we're to receive power. When one is baptized with the Holy Spirit, they receive power. The emphasis of the church, now we understand this, there is a manifestation when we receive the Holy Spirit in its tongues. But you need to understand what this whole thing is about. It's about the power of God. It's about the power of God. Now, one of the things that we don't recognize in the church world, you know, somebody speaks in tongues or something like that. We don't recognize that as power, but it is. It's power. We know very little about when power is demonstration. Right now, power is in demonstration. The anointing is on me to minister the word. That's the power of God. Most people don't. They're waiting for some kind of other thing to happen and go on. They're not cooperating with God. What's already the power operating? They want something they can see and feel, so they never operate by faith, so it never shows up. You want to see more power in demonstration? Start operating with the power that's going on. Start operating with the power that's happening. But see, we don't recognize those things. We look at power. We're going to look at some things concerning power today. It's one of the things we want to do. I wasn't going to do as much emphasis in this area, but the Lord wants to do a lot of emphasis. And I want us to go into 1 Corinthians. And we're going to go into 1 Corinthians. The Lord's going to, I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture here to you. Because to understand concerning the power of God and its working and in concerning in us. Now, remember, as we read, you've heard me talk about this before. The letters written in the New Testament, starting with Romans on out all through, these are letters written to the church. Were not written in chapters and verses. And sometimes, now look, chapters and verses are excellent from a study standpoint to be able to find things and reference. They break things so you can go over and they'll say, this is in certain chapter or verse, this is what's said. You can go over there and find that. That's good. But you need to be very careful because most Christians know very little about what the letters say because we mostly, people talk about them from just this verse says this or this verse says that. People know verses in the Bible but know very little about the Bible. I said, one of the things is going to Bible school, you do systematic study concerning the things of the Bible. And you sit down and actually read and study books of the Bible. Wow, that would be a far out thing in the church world today. Most people don't even know what's in most of them. They heard of scripture here, they heard of scripture there. Now what I want to do We're going to read from chapter 1 and chapter 2, but I want to go over in chapter 3 to start, and then we're going to back up because of what Paul says. Now, chapter 3, in the first verse, really, it didn't change the subject. He's going to make this statement because of what he has said beforehand, what he has already spoken. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 3, chapter verse 1. And he said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now, the word carnal there is the word for flesh. In Spanish, they get the word carne from that Greek word that is used there as carnal. Carne, it means meat. You know, I remember years ago, they used to call chili con carne. They don't do that today. But actually, what it means is chili with meat. That's what it meant. Chili con carne was chili with meat. Well, here he's talking about meat or flesh. So he says this about these people. He's saying, look, because Paul's going to talk spiritual things, but he knows this, they ain't going to get it. He said, and brethren, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, you act just like the sinners act. Most of the church world today, in fact, as the Lord spoke to me when I was out in Omaha, he said to me, most of the church world is following the spirit of the age, which means they're following this Antichrist spirit, this stuff that's going on. In other words, they're acting like mere men. They are following the things of the flesh. There's one thing is that Satan is always going to lead you in. Satan never leads you into spiritual things. He always leads you into carnal, fleshly things. Like people talk about, I've heard, you know, articles. See, I was over in the area dealing in the areas with sorcery. You get over in the areas of sorcery, especially in witchcraft. Witchcraft deals with potions. It deals with natural things to try to change spiritual things. That don't work. It ain't nothing but carnal. It's carnal things to try to change the spirit realm. Satan always works you, and he's always going to have you operate through the flesh. That's what his whole thing is to get you to do something fleshly to try to change something spiritually. And so it never, and it doesn't work. Number one, it doesn't last. I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching this years ago, and I watched it over time. He said about people call certain things moves of the Spirit. He said, I can tell you whether something's a move of the Spirit or not. He said, you give it time. He said, most things that people come along and say, oh, this is God's doing this now or God's doing that now. He said, and he said, over a short period of time, after a while, they're on to something else. He said, it never lasts. It never lasts. My salvation has lasted since 1980. It's worked. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've stuck with it. It's worked all these years. It's not changed. The Word of God that I've learned, it hasn't changed. It's just as powerful today, and I can still operate in it, and it still does the same things today. See, I'm not caught in the fads. Most people are caught in the fads because they operate as mere men. Most Christians operate as mere men. They followed what looks good at the time. Somebody comes along, some big name. Do you notice most deception that comes to the body of Christ comes through a big name? Because the devil will use them. They have the most influence. Because most people will be most impressed with the guy with the big name. That's who. A big name and big ministry. Big names and big ministries have introduced more junk in a little bit. It didn't last. You know, I remember back the PTL thing. How did it last? I was a young Christian. I got saved and they were gone. And I remember I told Wanda, this thing can't last. It can't last. It ain't built around on the Word of God. They're doing all kinds of things and they ain't right. That thing ain't lasting. Can't last. Well, I was a young Christian and I said it. And boy, I tell you, well, who do you think you are? Well, I was a Christian that knew the Bible and they didn't. People are moved by who's popular. Who's doing this and who's doing that? And that becomes what becomes move. Give it time. It'll show up. Give it time. The Lord's done that to me many times over the years. I think, Lord, this thing there, I'm not doing right. He says, give it time. They're all going to find out.
It was a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. They're going to find it out. But they're stupid. They're going to have to wait till it collapses, till they finally figure it out. And that's what most people. Most people will go along with it till it falls on their head. And yet there's warning signs all along the way. And so you always want to follow. Now, he said, I can't talk to you guys. It's spiritual. Now, I want you to show something. You can understand what's going on around you today and things, because ever since I come back from Omaha, God's been bringing this stuff up to me. And I don't want to preach things just because God talks to me about something. Sometimes it's for my information. So, you know, you don't necessarily go preach certain things just because God told you something. And so, but he wants me to talk about because in these areas of things. Now, we're going to go back over the first chapter. I'm going to read to you some things here. This is Paul's discussion of them. What they had done, these guys came along and they said, I'm a Paul and I'm an Apollos and this and that. What they're doing is say, you know, I'm following this guy. You know, there's baby Christians. Baby Christians always follow a man. Baby Christians always follow a man. And if he falls, they fall with him. See, there's nothing matter with following the anointing on a person, but you watch how close you follow a person. You watch this over the years. I paid attention to it because Kenneth Hagin learned these things, and so I didn't learn these things because I was a rocket scientist. He said about them, so I started to watch and observe. He said, you get following somebody really close and they get into error and die prematurely and you follow them, you're following the man. He said, watch how many people die prematurely because they start following that spirit very close that guy was doing and end up dying. Ministers do it. You know, Dowie died early, and there was many people who came under Dowie's ministry, other ministers who were very good ministers, but they followed him close and they ended up dying prematurely. Because you end up making the same mistakes. We don't follow men. You stick with the Word of God. I don't care what anybody does. It doesn't. That's why Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him. He said, you go to the Word of God. It don't matter what I say. If I'm not in line with the Word of God, you measure it against it. You measure the Word of God. He said, if a word don't say it, don't pay any attention to what I said. And I learned that. You have to do that. No, people mostly, well, so-and-so said, well, he knows more than you. He got a big ministry. You don't know how many times I've had people tell me that. Well, so-and-so said, he knows more than you because look at his big ministry. And I'll tell you what, they make the exact same mistakes he makes. See, I'm following the Word of God. That's what I'm following. I'm following the Word. Hallelujah. Well, Paul's talking to these people. And he said, I'm breaking in here in verse 20 in the first chapter. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Now, you're going to see the term age used there. He's talking about this age. We're living in an age where the New Testament tells us, Paul said that Satan or the devil, he's the god of this world system. There's a world system, an age that we live in this time, a fallen man. This age and time, and we're in this age. And he's asking concern this. He's asking where the wise is, where's the scribes, the disputer of the age. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world, of this world system? Hasn't he made it foolish? See, God has, but, you know, we're going to find he goes on. Now, look, he's talking to Christians about this. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. See, God did something that seems foolish to man. See, people sound, you know, really wise. See, Christianity don't make sense today. That's why most Christians don't follow God. Because they are hooked to the wisdom of the age. They are following the wisdom of the world. One of the biggest things today, oh, I'm smart, I'm this and I'm that. See, most Christians, all they are is they want to get full of knowledge. Don't do a thing. Don't walk with God. Follow God, but it'll tell you things about God. But they follow the wisdom of the age. And this is what many people do. They're constantly walking in the wisdom of the age. We don't want to do that. You don't want to follow the wisdom of the age. You know how stupid you people were? You went and followed the foolish message and got saved. You bunch of idiots. You're so dumb, my God. See, the world thinks you're a fool. See, today, even much of the church, because you would believe the Word of God is true today, that this is the measure that you live by, much of people call themselves Christianity would think you a fool. I've been told you can't take this thing literally. I've been told by spirit-filled people, well, that's still too little. That's a little. A guy that has 3,000 member church, and their carnal is crazy, and told me that, I told him about a certain thing because they were doing it. And I said, this is what the Bible says about that, and that shouldn't be going on. He said, well, now you can't take all that so literal. I said, well, adios amigos, you and me ain't hanging around no more. You got 3,000 members in a nice club. But it ain't the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not the Church of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm telling you. See, I've been criticized by experts. I don't care. I'm following the Word. I don't know what the rest of them are doing. I'm just going to follow the Word. So I'm just going to keep preaching to you fools. I'm just going to keep talking to you. I'm going to keep hanging out with the fools. All right? Hallelujah. Praise God. They call us foolish. Hey, praise God. Let me alone. I'm hanging out with the fools. They're the people I like. Glory to God. Hey, Jesus hangs around with the fools. So, well, he goes on. He said, for the Jews, what? They request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But it says, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You accept Christ, you accept the power of God, you accept the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the great revealer of that power and that wisdom. But he says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now he's saying this, and understand, he's talking to people who are baby Christians. God has no weakness, and God, doesn't lack any strength. He's saying it to them because he's talking to babies, trying to see how strong God is. This is what he's doing. We already looked at that. He's talking to babies. That's what he told them. They were babies. He goes, look, it goes on to say, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, nor mighty, not many noble, he said, are called. In other words, according to the flesh. Now, we read over there about where he called them being carnal. So in other words, he's talking about according to the standards of the world and according to the things of the flesh. He said this concerning that church. And the church at Corinth, from what we know from a historical standpoint, was a good-sized church. But he said, there's not many among you that in the standings of the world that you were in, you were a big deal. You were the smart guy. You were this or that. You're going to find that in the church world is basically today is the same thing. It seems to be very difficult. This is one of the things is I've watched this. I've watched people as they educate themselves and get educated if they are not careful. They educate themselves right out of spirituality. They do that. They educate. They get the smarts. This is what I found out. And this is not a criticism that Christians can't be over in this, but I found out most people, like say you get them over into the medical field and that stuff, and they get trained and taught over in that. They might be born again, and they might be spirit-filled and believe in healing, but they'll have a hard time believing for divine healing. Man, they get stuck on the doctor thing. Wow, their education, they get over into that area, and when you try to deal with the areas of getting healed without it, it is hard for them to go there, and it's hard for them to accept it. It's hard for them to do it. I found it over the years. I found it with people. I've had it happen. I've had it with people. I've been around in that stuff, and I've been told, well, you got to use wisdom. You can't do this. And see, their wisdom is of this world. They get to the point where they can't believe in a supernatural miracle anymore because God gave us doctors. Now, it ain't in the Bible, but who cares if it ain't in the Bible? That's what they believe because they educate themselves to believe that. Doctors, they say, are a gift from God. Well, I never heard anybody say my garbage man was a gift from God, but I tell you what, I like him better than the doctor. He's more regular, and he shows up all the time, and you don't go sit and wait in a room. And they do a lot of things to keep us healthy because they get rid of all of our garbage and trash for us so we don't have it growing around our house. See, Christianity is full of insanity. I need to get around when we get over in the Bible and listen to what the Bible says about things. But we too, we make our own gods. We just form them. This guy over here, he's a professional, so he's smart. Is he born again? No. Well, he ain't very smart. He's a fool, the Bible says. Says he's a fool. My God. Anyhow, let's go on. We'll go over and meddle in some other stuff. But God is in verse 27 again, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, in other words, the things you can't see, to bring to pass, to bring nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are. What he's talking about there in that last part is faith. That's what faith which cannot see and you can't see it, brings things, takes the things that exist and turns it to nothing. That's what happens when you believe God for healing. Healing. God takes sickness and disease and turns it into nothing by what you can't see. That's what he does. This is why people have such a hard time believing God for healing, because they can only believe in what they see. See, faith is about taking what you can't see and taking the thing you can see and turning it to nothing. Hallelujah. See, turn sickness to nothing. You do that by faith. You make it nothing. Hallelujah. By believing God. Now he goes on here to say, hallelujah. He said, what? For this purpose that God does this. Why does God do what he does this way? He said that no flesh should glory in his presence. God does it so you don't think you're so smart and bright. This is why the operation of faith is so important. This is why Christianity that don't operate in faith is always has an arrogance about it, because it's always operating in its own wisdom and knowledge of things. God never can get glory out of them because they follow the wisdom of man and they follow the wisdom of the age. See, God does things, and when I have to operate over in the areas of faith and I have to trust God, that means I'm saying, God, I'm trusting in your ability and not mine. Most people don't ever like to go there. Most people like to be God in their own situations. They love to be God. I want to keep a hand of control on this thing. It's one of the things, you know, we say, you know, Mike was teaching about casting your care. That's a hard thing for people to do. I want to keep worrying about this. I can't let this thing out of my hand. And the whole time they're worried, they're getting nothing done with it, but they love to hold on to that thing. Trying, not even fixing it. They think holding on to it somehow is going to make it better. It's like, no, get rid of it. Throw it over on the Lord. Let him work on it. Go lay down, go to bed, get a good night's sleep, and let him take care of it. Hallelujah. That's what you want to do. See, that's what faith does. Faith says, you know what? I ain't going to do nothing about that. I'm already gave it to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to take care of that thing. Glory to God. It's done. See, 2,000 years ago, when I found out when I was a baby Christian that 2,000 years ago Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, I said this, what on earth am I putting up with this stuff for? It don't blow. He already took it. What am I taking it for? And I said, I refuse to take sickness and disease. I ain't going to have it. It don't belong to me. Well, what happened? Stuff tried to come on me, and it's a fight. Because, see, what you see with your eyes and what you feel with your body, if that becomes the most important thing to you, well, it's allowed to reign and rule. It can come. But see, I operated over in that area where the things you couldn't see. And I said, those things that I can't see, I believe they bring to naught. Sickness and disease, I refuse to be sick. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have that. I don't want that. I'm not putting up with it. Hallelujah. See, flesh can't glory in his presence. He says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus become to us? He became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's what he is to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there's a wisdom. Now he's going to go on and talk about this, and this is what we want to look at here. Paul begins to talk to these people about coming to them and ministering to them, and I want you to see this. And it'll give you an idea of things. Is what we as believers, we need to walk in and what we need to live in. As Paul says this, and now remember, we're starting into chapter 2, but there's no such thing actually in the letter was a chapter. When Paul wrote this thing, there was not chapters and verses. This is a continuation of what he just got done saying. Now, because he starts this off,
And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellence of speech. See, he's telling them, look, I didn't come to you with my wisdom and how smart I was. Now, understand this. Paul's quite a remarkable guy because concerning from the religious standpoint, he's a Pharisee. This guy has his smarts, and he threw his smarts out. He said, I didn't come to you, but he said, with excellence of speech or the wisdom. I didn't try to tell you how bright I was about the Bible. I didn't come to you that way. Paul surely knew scripture. Well, I didn't come like that. He said, declaring to you the testimony of God. That word testimony there really, it is actually, it would be somebody taking evidence and bringing evidence like in a court of law. So he's telling us here the testimony of God. In other words, the evidence of God. See, the gospel is the evidence of God. That's why the gospel is hardly preached today. We preach just forgiveness of sin. You get your sins forgiven. You accept Jesus, get your sins forgiven. They don't tell you to get born again. You get born again, you become a new creation. You get healed, delivered, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We don't tell people that. There are all the things that deal with the witness of God. God manifests himself through those things. We don't preach them. We're going to bring somebody to Christ by just saying, you need your sins forgiven. No, you need to get born again. You can get your sins forgiven and end up in hell. You need to be born again to become a child of God. You need to receive the forgiveness of your sin, and you do that by receiving Christ. See, we preach Old Testament gospel. You know, take your lamb in and go put it down there and kill him for a year. You got your sins forgiven. I'll tell you what, isn't that wonderful? But see, we want to preach the truth. He said, listen, when he came to them, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you except except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in many trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, when I came into the kingdom, there was lots of demonstrations of the power of God. There was loads of demonstrations and things. God was always manifesting himself in things. Well, people were surely believing a whole lot different then. They were believing on a different level than what they do generally today. But people's faith was based in the power of God rather than in the wisdom of men. It wasn't by just great speeches. It wasn't by those kinds of things. Number one, the anointing of preaching. There was a much greater anointing in preaching in those days generally among ministers than it is today. You know, today you go on television, there's a lot of guys who are speaking, they persuade people, and people love to hear what they say. Number one is because they always tell you, you're cute and all right, so send me some money. So that's, you know, everybody, because they don't come on TV and say, you know, you've been a scumbag. Do you know that? You ain't walked with Jesus and you could end up in hell. You don't change your life. No, they won't say that because that's not popular and they would probably not want them on television. And being on television and being popular is more important than preaching the gospel. We don't want to tell them the truth. You know, we've had ministers that got on and spoke the truth, and boy, I'll tell you what, they tried to get them off TV the best they could. Trying to get them moved off TV. Don't tell the truth. No, no. Be one of these cute little cuddly guys that stands up and tells you everything's all right. Yeah, you just put money in, give it to me, and just God will bless you, and your just life's going to turn out wonderful. You can even live like hell. Go ahead. Have a big time. Just send me money. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And people buy it because people love to hear it. People, this fulfillment of Scripture. Paul said they're going to draw teachers to themselves with itching ears. They're going to have itching ears. What he's talking about? They're going to draw ministers by what they want to hear. It's what people want to hear. So, you know, I like this church over here. Why? Because I like to hear what they say. Now, I need something else, you know. I need something else. And lots of times people do, as I've said this before. We have never had a person that ever came here to church and told me, came to me personally and told me that God sent them here. They were supposed to be here, that they didn't leave the church. And I know God did send them here. He sent them here because they need to have some things said to them they didn't want to hear. And when they don't, when they have it said to them, it's adios amigos, and their horse is parked outside, and they go do the old saddle jump, jump on the back, and woohoo, out through there. God called me to another place.
Now, I don't tell that. I told one person that directly. Oh, not too long back. Came and sat down and told me God sent him there. And I just looked at him and I said they were sitting in my living room. And Wanda was there and I looked at him. Someone's going to tell you something. I said, every person that ever told me what you just said left this church. It never stays. I said, number one, you ain't been around long enough to know me. I said, I don't put up with junk. That gets hard with a lot of Christians because a lot of Christians are junk. They love junk. They love doing their junk and they love following their junk and calling it Christianity. They love it. And I said, the person said to me, he said, oh no, I'm going to be here. Well, within a month they were gone. You know what? I knew that night they wouldn't stay. I knew they weren't going to stay. I knew they were just flaky as crazy, and I knew they wouldn't be around. I knew that they didn't want to change, you know. They're around looking for something, a place, Stephen, because their life is all about them. It's all about what makes me feel good, what they do, and mind this and that and the other thing. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't what life's about. I'm so glad life ain't about with me. You're all in big trouble if life was just about me. Dear Lord, oh my God. Hallelujah. But Paul is talking here about the power of God. So your faith is based in God's power. And see, this is why, you know, with people, wisdom and understand knowing things about stuff is that there's a power in that. And it's a power that grips people. You know, most people think somebody's smart. Boy, I'll tell you what, they can just be manipulated by them. This is why we want to preach the word. I want you, if there's any manipulation, I want the word to manipulate you. I want you to be manipulated under God's power and not by the man's power or man's wisdom or whatever man's doing. You want to be manipulated. Now listen what he goes on to say, listen what he says. However, in verse 6, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature. Well, now we know this by what we had read over in chapter 3 in the beginning. He said, I couldn't speak to you. Spiritual. I can't talk to you. So we know this. They're not mature. What Paul is speaking here are things for mature people. For people that are mature. Paul could not preach this in 90% of the churches in America today. You can't preach this. You can't preach it. It's number one, the Lord told me. Can't preach this here. You can't preach it because you come preaching this, it upsets people. Because the church is filled with the wisdom of the world. The God of this age has manipulated and got into the church realm and they're teaching all kinds of things that ain't right. They're doing all kinds of things they call ministry. It's not God. They do all kinds of things that people think are good, but isn't what God called them to do. It's what men do. You know? Jesus didn't have a soup kitchen. Well, he didn't. Well, we know that backslidden buzzard. I don't know what he was doing. You know? He didn't have. But see, people today, we have our ideas. You can do good things, but ain't what God called you to do. And much of Christianity, they do good things, but God's not in it. And through it, God cannot anoint. God will never anoint your plan. God will never anoint your plan. God will never anoint your plan. Never. It's His plan that He anoints. That's where the anointing. It's His plan. And see, people need to understand that. People need to get a hold of this. We've lost it. One of the things that Randall Greer made a statement about, the Lord said to him, the Lord, and in fact, it was through a prophecy, the Lord spoke and said that, he said, many of my people learned about how to be led by the Spirit. And they learn about those things, but they no longer follow that today. They just follow after their own ideas and their own plans. They no longer listen to the Spirit anymore. Yet they were taught to do it. See, I know from among the groups of people I'm around, when we were taught, and I know loads of people from the Rhema people, loads of them got off, they're doing their own things. They're out in their own ministries. They got their own ministry. Well, I ain't got my own ministry. I got the ministry of Jesus Christ. I ain't got no other one. I didn't develop one. I don't know what I would do to develop one. I ain't bright enough. I was one of the fools. I have to rely on Him because I don't know what else to do. Hallelujah.
He said, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. It's not the wisdom. This is one thing you need to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will always bring to you the wisdom of God's plans and purposes through His Word. Not through, oh, well, you know, things have changed today. We have this and we have that, so we don't have to do this stuff over in the Bible. No, no, we've learned more now. We know more things now. We know this stuff. And see, the wisdom of the age has gotten into the church world. He said, nor of what the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. The rulers of this age. He's talking about the demonic powers that dominate this age. This is what people are listening to. Many in the church are listening to demons. The scriptures tell us in the last days, people are going to be preaching doctrines of devils. See, they aren't, you know, to preach and, you know, go out here and murder somebody. That's not what they're saying. But they're teaching things that allow people to leave what God's saying to do and follow other things. And they seem nice and they seem good. You know, when the devil tempted Jesus, he didn't go out here and tempt him in a manner, you know, he came along and gave him scripture. Make it sound good. The devil will never tempt you, you know, just out of some temptation. Always comes, he comes along and tempts you to do something that seems good naturally to do, but is contrary to word in its context. It'll be contrary. See, you need to understand, if you don't know scripture, you don't know stuff, you can get bought off by it and think, well, you know, I'm doing what's right. But we find here, we speak of wisdom. He said in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, it says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, the demon, the devil and his host, they would have never crucified Jesus had they known the mystery. Now the mystery is ordained. It is ordained to us. The mystery is not hidden from us. It's ordained to us. If Christians don't know the mystery, just like we know that this church didn't because of what Paul had told them we talked about, they weren't maturing. When they should have been maturing is because they weren't maturing. They weren't walking in the light of things. Therefore, they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They're following the flesh. So the mysteries aren't revealed. You need to understand this. Mysteries are revealed by the Holy Spirit, not by your brightness, not because you can read. Loads of people can read. I ran into ministers who were highly more educated than me and could read a whole lot better than me, who were dumb as a stick. They knew nothing about the Bible. Reading the Bible does not give you revelation. Revelation comes from the Holy Ghost. He is the revealer of truth. He's the one who takes it. If the Holy Spirit, if the power of God is not in it, you will not know it. The scripture is revealed. If you could just get it by reading it, then therefore everybody who read it would have it. Have you noticed that there's people who read the Bible? I can take you to Christians and they'll tell you the baptism of the Holy Ghost ain't for today, healing ain't for today, yet it's all through the Bible and the Bible tells you about it. Well, what is it? They have no revelation. They have intellectualism when they've been taught certain things that they believe, and the Holy Ghost can't talk and reveal certain things to them. He can't reveal it to them. He can't show it to them. There's a revelation, and we need to understand. Things come by revelation. You don't get it just because you know how to read a book. I'm going to tell you what, I've been in cultures where people could hardly read, and they were a lot more spiritual than Americans. Your spirituality ain't based on your ability to read. Oh, dear God, America's full of readers, dumber than a stick. Dear Lord, just go online, dear Lord. I mean, there's stupidity going to seed everywhere, and people are reading it. My God. So none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, you don't stop there. See, this is why a chapter and verse. They went through a chapter verse in there. I've heard ministers read that. See, there's things we just don't know. And they make stupid statements. Read verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? In other words, you know, at least you should. You should know your own spirit and what's going on in you. That's what he's talking about, inside of you. Well, he's talking here, then he goes on. He tells us, knowing that of a man except the spirit of man. And he says this, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now listen, do you understand what he just said? He said, nobody knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. He didn't say, nobody knows the things of God except the people who have a Bible. Did he? I learned this a long time ago. This is what the Lord told me. Baby Christian, born again January and in February, the Lord said to me, seemed to me as an audible voice in my house. He said, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Bible readers have amounted to nothing as Christians because they don't yield to the Spirit. They come up with their own ideas. I saw this. So that people would read things that would not, they would study and study and study without the Holy Ghost. Their ideas. People write books on their ideas of things. And they got their scriptures. They got their stuff. Many times I've read things and I've read stuff in books and if people knew and they'd put these scriptures up. And I just know inside when I read them, think, you know, I don't know much about the subject, but I know inside of me it ain't right what they're teaching. I just know it's not. I know it ain't what God's saying. And after a while, over time, I'll get some revelation on it and I'll see, yeah, that's right, what they're saying is it. See, they come up with their ideas, like the end times. There's been, and you've heard me talk about it, there has been so many lousy books written on the end times. So many bad, bad, bad books. And my words, I mean, they've been so far off base and stuff. Why? Men's ideas, men's thinking about it. We need revelation from God. I got revelation concerning things the end time, and I got them because I didn't try to push to make something happen to find them. Because number one, I found out this. You need to mature a little bit spiritually to learn some other stuff. Most people are trying to find out about the end times, and they can't even walk right for 10 minutes in their life. It would be much better if they spent a little time doing something else instead of running around trying to find something out, read the latest books about this or that or the other thing. I'll tell you, we ought to have about 1 million books in the Christian bookstores on living a right life. You know, and the latest other revelations, you know, they ought to take them out. We'd have a good book burning. You know, it would be a good idea because there's a lot of junk out there. I'll tell you what, I very seldom go to a Christian bookstore. Because I hate to go into a place that has Christian bookstore on it and 90% of the books in the store you don't want to ever read. Somebody throws tags the thing on it, calls it Christian, and then Christian calls it, threw a tag on it to it. Hallelujah. Talk the dumbest, nutty stuff you've ever heard in your life. You know, you just write a book. You know, I was inspired to write this. I just thought I ought to write that. Well, good. You go ahead and write it. Please don't make me read it. We'll get along good together. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm still trying to figure this book out. I'm still trying to learn from this one. Hallelujah. I don't need 27 other ones. Glory to God. Now in verse 12 here, we want to read, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things of God that have been freely given to us. The things that are freely given to us, how do I get to know them? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. I get to know them by the Spirit of God. He's the one who reveals them. Thank God I can use the book and read the book. I don't have to try to sit down and figure out what the book says. There is one in me who is wise. There's one in me who understands. There's one in me.
And you know, he'll educate you. It's one of the things that the Lord told me years ago back through is make sure, you know, learn definitions of words. Learn what words mean. Loads of people, a lot of things you'd learn in the Bible if you just knew actually what the words meant you were reading. Just because somebody translates a certain thing in a certain way and you like the way it says it, that don't make it right. Translators translated a lot of bad stuff. There was things translated, and especially today they have what do they call them, those Bibles, they're not translations, they have, what they do is, they don't really go by, you know, sit down and take the actual Hebrew and Greek. They turn around and, like, you know, they just, what they do is basically, I call it ad-libbing. They ad-lib in there into things and put them in, and people think they're great and that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of bad stuff in them. You better know the Bible before you start using them and quote them. Because there's loads of things in them that ain't scriptural. They're people's ideas. See, there's a difference between a translation and those type of ones that are doing. There's a whole big difference between a translation. Translations where they took Hebrew or Greek and they translated into a language. So, but you have to know the Bible. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. He said, don't ever take what just because somebody or even a translator said certain thing means. And he said, if God tells you that meant certain thing, he said, you go with God. And we need to understand this because in Scripture, lots of times you go in different books, different Bibles or different translations. They translate prophecy as preaching, and it's not preaching. Although preaching has a form of prophecy in a sense. But it's not so when you read it, it will give you a wrong idea. See, because why? The people translating don't believe in having prophets today. So they translated what fits them. There's loads of things go on like that. If you don't study, that's why the Bible, the crazy apostle Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. He didn't say, wait till the preacher tells you everything. And when you get it all from him and you just go through all the classes, then you'll know everything. No, we don't. Number one, you won't get a lot what I say if you don't yield to the Holy Ghost. You won't be. You won't know either. It ain't true because I say it. See, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to dig down and find things. See, we have in the church world today, we have a real problem because the spirit of the ages got into the church. God has set up a way for us to, and really, it's our safety. The Holy Ghost is our safety. The Holy Ghost is in us to teach us and guide us, and you will learn to yield to Him because He's your safety. He's revealing things to you. He's taking, number one, the Holy Spirit ain't going to ever take the Scripture and have one place, well, that it's okay to do this, and the other place, well, now it's not. Well, that was Old Testament. It was wrong over there to commit adultery, but we're in freedom today over here. See, we got grace today. You can be adulterer, fornicator, whatever else you want to do. You just go ahead and you do it, and God loves you. Well, of course He does. And the whole time when you're in hell, He loved you. We act because God loves you. Somebody loves you. You know, I want to think about that. Let's carry this out to the whole way of the thing. God loves you, so nothing bad going to happen. Well, then any Christian who ever punished a child did evil. Well, why would you punish them? God loves them the way they are, so you can just do bad and it'll all turn out to good. So let them do evil. I'll tell you what these morons that teach this stuff, you know it's demonic because they ain't thought 10 seconds about what they're saying. It's demonic. It's evil. It's all what sounds good to us. Hallelujah. So we didn't receive this spirit. He said, not the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, things of the Spirit are always comparable to other things in the Spirit. If they don't fit, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Today it's bought. Today. Carnal accepts anything. Carnal accepts stuff, and even if this don't line up with they believe carnally, they'll just take the next new thing along and eat it, you know. They're just like baby birds. Anything you stick in their mouth, they'll swallow it. They'll just got their mouths open, just ready to dump in. That's the world. Much of the church world is identical.
They do the same things. He said, but the natural man, listen, the natural man, this is the man who's not born of the Spirit. Now listen, remember Paul said to them, he said, I can only talk to you like you're carnal, like you're like mere men. Remember he said, Christians that are mere men. You talk to them in the same manner, they're just like the world. See, they had them in their time too. This is nothing new. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them. Why? Because why? They're spiritually discerned. See, the things of God are spiritually discerned. They're always spiritually. They're revelation. Any revelation I got from God, it didn't come to my mind. It always comes in here, things I know. I'm walking back and forth here this morning praying, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me concerning these because I thought, well, you know, I could. My other message would have been more fun. But he spoke to me about this. He said, I want you to talk about this. So he spoke to me, you know, back and forth here. It was down on the inside. It wasn't something in my head. See, my inner man, the real me is on the inside. And that's where God talks to the inner man. He don't talk to this knucklehead on the outside. This knucklehead on the outside will do anything. The guy on the inside is the guy born of God. He communicates. And see, I know my spirit. Paul just said that the spirit of man knows the things inside of a man. We know this. When people are so carnal in the church that their flesh dominates them so much, they don't even know themselves on the inside. They don't know who and really what they are. They don't know the glory that they've been into. Anybody that would preach it's okay to sin and it's all right, God just forgives you straight out, I know he's carnal, because nobody would be in contact with their human spirit and be born again and would feel comfortable just about going and just go sin and do what you want. You'd never feel comfortable. My conscience, which is the voice of my spirit, would bother me. We are today in a church world that has no conscience. People don't have any conscience to sin. They're not conscious about living right. And they say they were Christians, and they might be, but they're mere men, and they walk and live just like the devil in these bunch. But they're nice people. Oh, they're good people. They're just good people. But see, they're not conscious on the inside. You got to be conscious on the inside of you, the real you. You know, when you die and go to heaven, you get this suit on the outside. I tell you what, I bet so many Christians are surprised when they ended up in heaven after they got off their flesh and they thought, who's this guy? Whoa, my God. See, man, I've been hidden for a long time. And the Spirit's probably saying, boy, I'm glad I got out of that stupid body. Oh, that was good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. They're spiritually discerned, but he says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It says we have it. Why? You got the Holy Ghost in you. The Spirit. This whole thing is about this. It's about the spirit of the age and it's about the Holy Ghost. Which one are we yielded to? The spirit of the age. If we're yielded to that, we're going to be walking in the flesh. That's where we're going. The spirit of the age, walking in the flesh. Walking. And so we need to understand it. If we're going to be walking in the Spirit, we have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit who is in us. Hallelujah. This is what some of the things that we want to talk about. You know, it's concerning the power of God. We talk about what the power of God is. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans in 1:16, he had said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, why? It's the power of God into salvation. That word salvation there means can mean healing, deliverance, set free, salvation, whatever. It is really, it's a total freedom, spirit, soul, and body. That's what it is. And so he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. He says what? For everyone who believes, he said, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, but what is the power of God? When we talk about demonstrations of power, we need to understand the anointing to preach and teach the word is the power of God. See, people are always looking for a demonstration. One of the things is, we find in Scripture, found in Mark, the 16th chapter, it said the signs follow the word. See, most people want the signs to go before the word. We want to have signs and we don't want to talk to people the word. We don't understand the power of the word. People don't get saved by signs. Signs grab their attract people. Signs attract people, but they don't get people saved. People get saved by the gospel, by getting faith, hearing the gospel preached. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. It's got to be preached. The power of the word. There's no other way to get saved than the power of the word. There's no other way to get saved. The power of the word. See, we don't believe it. You know what? I've learned this, and this is what God taught me. Here's why I learned about it. If you're going to learn the subject of faith, the faith's always going to come before signs and wonders. See, the Lord taught me. When the Lord said to me he wouldn't allow anybody to lay hands on me, whether it was sickness or whatever it was, he did only anybody. You learn to stand in faith. Well, see, I learned the power of the word to heal. I developed and learned how to believe the word, and the power of the word healed me. I learned to do that. See, I would hear things just like with me. I heard Kenneth Hagin teach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm in my bedroom. I decide I'm going to believe the word myself and get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I did it. I just believed the word, believed I received the Holy Ghost, got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. You see, the power of the word. The word is the most powerful thing. The highest level of faith is not gifts of the Spirit. The highest level of faith is you believe the word of God and act on what the word says. That's the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith is not. Gifts of the Spirit go in operation, and their purpose is to reach the world, reach people who have no faith. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I didn't put gifts of healing and working of miracles in the church for the church. I put them in the church for the reaching the world. He said, my people should be walking in health. See, we're supposed to believe the word. We got to come back to the power of the word. We want something. We don't believe the word is as powerful. We don't. We think Benny Hinn's ministry is the power ministry. No, it's not. The power is the word of God. The power is the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So one thing is I found out when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, boy, I'll tell you what, the word of God just got amplified in me. I'd pray in other tongues and turn me loose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you know, people turn around and say, you know, they want to, you know, let me know, you know, 5 weeks ahead of time if you want me to share a message or do something like that. People turn and say, dear Lord, just turn me loose. You can call me up in 15 minutes, ask me to preach. I got a message. Hallelujah. I know when I step in, God will anoint me. You know, I don't need to be notified ahead of time. The Bible says you're supposed to be in season and out of season. Reason people aren't is because they walk in the flesh all the time and they're not ready for it and they want to have a one time I get spiritual and I'll teach. Dear God, before I was ever a preacher and that stuff, I had more messages than you could shake a stick at. Dear God, from the time I got born again, I had something to say. The Lord spoke to me and told me. I asked him one time, why do you give me so much revelation? Why are you always showing me stuff? He said, every time I show you something, he said, you go give it to somebody. Given it shall be given unto you. You want to ask somebody who will struggle with revelation? You're always going to struggle. You don't give it away. Give, the principle of give and it shall be given to you ain't just money, folks. It's a law of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You want to stay dumb? Just keep what you got. You'll stay dumb. You'll lose, Jesus said, even what you got, you'll lose it. Jesus said that. Even what you have will be taken away from you. Woo! Ain't that a taken away from me? I'm going to preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to preach it. I don't want to lose it. Man, I know what it is to be a big dummy. I finally got something in my head that's worth dying for. It's worth living for. I finally got something. Dear God, I need to keep it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we know signs and wonders and things take place, but there's all kinds of things that take place in the power of the Spirit of God. You know, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead by the power of the Spirit of God. You know that? Hallelujah. We could use a few of those today. Glory to God. Wouldn't hurt nothing. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. But you know, the power of God. Paul was bitten by a snake and he didn't die. The poisonous snake, he's supposed to die. See, the power of God and demonstration and things. You know, it's like Paul, like we look at as a demonstration of that thing. We don't look at it as a big deal as the power of God. But Paul just walked in faith. He didn't stop and pray and have a prayer meeting. Had brother laid hands on him. Snake bit him. He shook it off and just kept doing what he's doing. That's faith. No, today we just need to get 47 other people to pray and get, you know, do this and do that and, you know, wave wands and, you know, turn around, throw oil on people and do stuff. We're doing all this stuff. Paul didn't. Why? He believed in the power of God. He's acting in faith. Snakes bite him, they don't hurt him. He shakes it off and they stand around, you know. And what'd the world think?
My God, he must be a God. He didn't die. Hallelujah. See, just acting like the word's true. See, Paul had a revelation. Most people could go to the scripture and read those things, but you know what? You let that happen to them and see what they do. I know they don't have any revelation on it because how they'll act after they get bit by the snake. I know whether they had a revelation on it or not. See, it don't matter if you read it from the book, say, yeah, boy, that was really something, ain't that there? Well, was it a revelation to you? Don't matter what it was, a revelation to Paul, and it was written down in the book. If it ain't a revelation to you, it don't matter. It's a nothing. The revelation is, that's for me. See, this is one thing that I believe. See, I believe that book was written specifically for Ed Gibson. I believe God did all he could just to get that thing to me because I'll believe it. What do you believe about it? Do you believe it's for you? Now, most people are there just trying to figure. That book was written specifically for me. The Bible is a wonderful book. I tell you, yesterday I was walking around reading through these scriptures that I have here. I'll tell you, to me, it was like eating at a gourmet restaurant. I even told the Lord, I said, Lord, this is so wonderful. I said, my inner man loves this thing. Just like I'd be sitting down and some of these people, you know, talk about all, you know, this really good food, you know, the best caviar. I said, man, this is the best. I said, your word is phenomenal. I said, it is. I said, I'm reading it here. See, and I'm reading, talking about it, and the anointing just comes on me. And man, this is just so good. Reading the Bible with the anointing on you. Wow. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is there. The revealer of the word. And my inner man's like, yum, yum, eat it up. My inner man's like, this is so good. This is so wonderful. See, how do you treat the word of God? Well, we have our daily reading. I get up in the morning. We have our devotion. I get up and eat. And I get sloppy at it too. I'll tell you what. People eat and make pigs of themselves with real food, but you get the Bible and they nibble. Oh man, I don't put a bib on it, I let it slop on me. I'll tell you what. Let the word say. Get a hold of the word. It is so good. Hallelujah. You know. They take caviar, they just put it on a little cracker and then sit there and, oh, isn't that wonderful? Now get the spoon, you moron. Eat that stuff if it's any good. That's what you do with the word. You get a big, you don't get a soup spoon, you get a serving spoon. Serve yourself. Hallelujah. Let the anointing of God work in you. But you know, I want to talk about the spirit of the age because the Lord wanted me to talk about these things because, you know, Paul was reaching people through the power of God and not through the entertainment to people's flesh and what people enjoyed or liked. He was reaching people through the power of God. That's what he said. I didn't come down with my wisdom or how smart I was. He said, I came to you. He preached the word to them, the power of God. There was demonstrations, if you look at the things that took place at Corinth. So demonstrations of the power of God. In other words, he didn't come. It wasn't about Paul. It was about Jesus. In other words, he's amplifying Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. That's what I learned when I had my encounter with the Holy Spirit back in May of 1989, when I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. One thing is I learned about the Holy Spirit, what he does is magnify Jesus. And I learned this. You do things to give Jesus a bad name. You do. The Holy Ghost won't talk to you. You can get the Holy Ghost mad at you and he won't talk to you. You push Jesus to the forefront. That's what he always does. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a ministry of his own. His own ministry is to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to people. He magnifies Jesus. That's all he does. That's all he does. If you want to know about something else, go do something else. The Holy Ghost ain't got time for it. The Holy Ghost magnifies Jesus. He lifts up the Word of God. The Word of God comes to the foremost. You can't over there and get over into things and, you know, start magnifying the things of the world to fix problems, get over psychology. Most of the church world today is operating in psychology. They have all their psychological things that they do, and it's been bought. People like it. Even the spirit-filled people like it. But those things go on. You know, it's one of the things that I saw things happening and how the world started to get in. It's number one, we're living in an entertainment age. Entertainment. Churches are great entertainment centers. And people love to be entertained. They love to be entertained. You know, from the music to you, whatever,
it's entertainment. You go to church, they call them, you know, we have, you know, our worship team, and we get up there, and it's the rock and roll group, and they're up here and that stuff. They got all their lights, and they got all their stuff up here, and we're worshiping God. Well, I tell you, you don't worship in God, watch it. That ain't worshiping God. That's not worshiping God. Do you know in the temple, we talk about, you know, people talk, I've heard ministers say, well, you know, look how glorious the temple was in God built and that stuff, and our churches ought to have all this stuff in them. You need to understand, the people never went in that temple. The area where God was worshipped, where all the gold was and all that, they never went there. Only the priests were in that place. They didn't have a comfortable seat outside to worship God. They went into that place, and they only, as far as they got to that place where they burnt flesh on an altar. Did you ever smell burnt flesh? Man, I was at a barn fire one time, and they were turning around cleaning the stuff up, and the cows had burnt. Let me tell you, it wasn't some sweet aroma. And that's where they went and worshiped. That's where they went, where those things were. And they went there and worshiped God. They didn't worship in front of the gold. They weren't even in it. All they knew, that they heard it was in there, but they never saw it. They didn't worship because things looked wonderful. They worship as God prescribed to worship. Jesus said, God is seeking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man, He'd sure love to have some of that today. That would excite Him big time. He'd love to, because most of the church world ain't much truth in it, and when it comes to spirit, the spirit stuff's gone completely. They do it. In other words, they come in. You come in, you have this whole thing, you have this entertainment stuff, and you have all these things going on. Now, back in the 1980s, I was with a church at that time, and anyhow, there was a friend that I knew. He had gotten born again, and he was working in a church. In fact, he was like an associate in this one small church. But anyhow, they had some people. They had some people that played in an orchestra in their church. They had a small, there was a band. And anyhow, these ones got together, and they started making a decision. They were going to do some things about what they called outreach. Want to reach the sinners. So he came to me about this, and he said, these ones are going to start doing this. But he said, there's something wrong. And he said, I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with it. He said, I don't get it. He said, well, what they were going to do, they were going to start. He told me then. See, they were going to start taking secular music and have some secular music and gospel music. They're going to take it together. Because what they're going to use is use the secular. See, because, well, these people know this. So we're going to sing. We'll do some of these, and then we'll get. And then after we suck them in, see, with the good secular music, then we'll bring the other stuff in. And this is what we're going to do. So, he asked me if I'd pray about this, and I mean, I was okay. I said, I'll pray about it. We'll see what it, you know, God does. To me, it didn't seem right to begin with, but I said, I'll pray about it. But I didn't really spend a whole lot of time in prayer. I'll be honest with you, I had prayed about it, but I mean, I didn't go into any fasting or anything about it. Just sort of minding my own business. I figured if God wanted me to talk to me about it or talk to Him about it or whatever. In fact, I didn't think God was going to talk to me about it. I thought God would talk to Him about it. But for some reason, God said, and I went to bed one night, just minding my own business, went to bed, went to sleep, and had a dream. And that's when I had a dream. I talked about this dream before. This dream came from that thing. And when this dream took place, it's one of the things, let me just say this to you, don't ever buy these books or anything that so-called Christians put out about dreams and all that stuff. Don't ever read that stuff. Don't be surprised if you do, you end up with a demon. You don't ever read that kind of stuff. How you interpret dreams. If you get a dream from God, you'll know it. You don't need somebody or some stupid person. That all is, it has to do with psyche and all this kind of crazy stuff. Don't you read any people say they're Christians and write that kind of stuff. You stay away from them kind of books. How you interpret your dreams. We know this from the standpoint, let me just say this. Joseph interpreted dreams, but you need to understand about the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, nobody had the Holy Spirit on them or in them except the person standing in the ministry. Joseph was in the prophet's ministry. He was a prophet. And you go over to the Old Testament, they would go down to the priest or they would go to the prophet to find out things, and they had to. They didn't have the Spirit within themselves. They didn't. They just walked in line with the Word the best they could, you know, and understood. But they would go for that. We don't do that today. You don't need to come and ask me. Dear Lord, you got God in you. Didn't it say we have the mind of Christ? Well, see, I've found the mind of Christ. I can find out for myself. I don't have to get a hold of somebody else to find out. I have the mind of Christ in me. We just read it. Hallelujah. So in other words, we as individuals, we don't do that. And, it's when I had this dream, and I've had a couple dreams at times. I've had dreams about things. And any time it's had to do with God, you know, I've had pizza dreams. I've just had dumb dreams. I've had sometimes, I don't even know if it was a dream. I don't want to. But whenever I've had a dream that God gave me, I knew exactly what it was. And in a dream, I knew. It was just something, I just knew it. This dream here, I knew during the dream. I knew that was, I would say, I would call this what the Bible calls and uses the term night vision, because it was more like a vision than it was a dream. And it was just like real. It was like, I was back in Vietnam in a dream. I was back, it was so real to me. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, it was just like I was back in Vietnam. The first thing that grabbed me about the dream was this fact. I remembered the odors and the smells of Vietnam when I was there. I remember what it was like. I'm driving a deuce and a half, that old good diesel smell. And I'm just, you know, but the smells and the odors you got from the food that they cooked and the stuff that they made. You know, every once in a while, like I'll get around, very seldom that I ever get around a Vietnamese restaurant where it really smells like in Vietnam. Like they most are Americanized and do it a little bit more toward the American side. But they had the stuff that they cooked and made, and you could just tell when you got where somebody was cooking, you could certain odors. And in this dream, they were all there. It was just like I was back in Vietnam, and I'm in this deuce and a half truck. We're running an ammo convoy. And I'm like in the middle of this thing in the truck that I'm driving. I'm in the middle of this thing. Well, in an ammo convoy, you don't stop for anything. You remember, you're riding on a bomb. That's what you're riding on. That thing blows up. They don't even have enough to send you home. They don't even have enough to send some scraps home in a box. You're gone forever, you know. You're vaporized. You know, you're sitting, you got a load of ammo on the back, and that stuff goes off. You better know Jesus. You're going to meet him quick. So you know this. But one of the things, you don't stop, because, you know, they would come out sometimes driving through areas. They would shoot at you or try to throw a satchel charge on the truck or do something. So you just keep moving along. You went through villages and stuff like that. You didn't stop for nobody. They got out of the way. You just kept moving, because they would send people out, try to slow you down, try to stop you. They'd stand them out. You had to learn. They knew how to do it and that stuff. And they'd send you out there, and if somebody got run over, oh my words, those terrible people, they ran somebody over. And the whole time it was, they were trying to set you up to kill you. See, most Christians would have a hard time being in the military, because they'd be dead immediately. Anyhow, hallelujah. But, you know, we're driving along, and all of a sudden we're coming and we start slowing down. Now we're in an area, we're coming, and where we're driving in a dream, we're coming out of a jungle area, we're coming into an area where there's a fire base. What a fire base was, they were usually not really a huge place. Were set there. Usually they had an area there where they would have so many soldiers and stuff in an area which was used for, you know, like whatever they would do in that area, whether it would be sending out, you know, patrols and stuff of what's going on. But they would use those areas lots of times if they wanted to make a big move on something, then they'd bring a whole bunch of troops into that area, and that area would all be set up for it, and they could send people out. But it was like in the middle of what they call a three-tier jungle. A three-tier jungle is three tiers of growth in a jungle. And a three-tier jungle, what it does is when you're driving in a road, it's like driving through a tunnel, because all the growth, you have the low growth, the medium growth, and the high growth, and it all grows up and grows over top. And it's just like your road inside, you're just enclosed inside of there. And those were places you didn't like to drive, because you can't get air support to you. Because if you even set off flares or anything like that, the smoke from the colored flares that you're supposed to set off, it don't go through the canopies too thick, so it don't ever, because they can't see where you're at. So you're trying to tell them where you are, and they don't know where you're at if you need air support. So it was never, yeah, that ain't a fun place to be. You know, that's not an exciting spot to be in. So we're driving through that, and I can see down at the end, it's like a tunnel, and I can see down at the end where we're coming out of that, and there's this fire base, and the fire base sits to the left side of the road. And I can see the berm and that stuff with the main gate that entered into it was there. And they had these berms. They would push up these big dirt berms, and they'd put bunkers on them and that stuff and that stuff. And that's how you guarded them, and that's how you protected your area. And so this was all there. I remember looking up at that, and we're slowing down. And we're slowing down. And man, I'm nervous, man. I'm in a sweat. This ain't good.
I'm in a three-tier jungle. These guys are out there. They're blocking us coming out of this thing, and you're sitting down here. This is like, man, you don't want to be here. What's going on? I mean, and in this dream, man, I was not happy, man. I was an unhappy camper. And I start yelling, get moving! And nobody's been there. They're all stopping. And then I take the truck that I'm in, and I drive over to the berm of the road, and I pull it over up where I could see down through, and there's enough that I could get off with the growth, and I could look down the road, and there's this big angel standing at the front gate of this fire base. He's right at the front gate. And he's standing there. Oh, he's had to be 10, 12 feet high, this thing. And he's there glowing, just looking real pretty. He's looking real pretty. You know what I mean? He's there, this glowing white glory, like, you know, it looks down there. And he's standing there, and these guys are stopping their truck, and they're all going up there to this angel. They're all going up there. And the people from inside the fire base, they're out there, this angel. And it all of a sudden came to mind, in the dream, I said out loud, I said, this can't be God. God would never put us in danger like this. He would never do that. God wouldn't do this. I just know this wasn't right. God wouldn't do this. I started yelling, get moving. Everybody's set. So, you know, a deuce and a half and all-wheel drive, you have 10-wheel drive on it is what you got. You got 10 wheels to pull. And so I kicked her in and I drove down the side and I'm running it because you can run down small trees and stuff and things like that. And I'm running down the side of the road and I'm driving through this stuff yelling, get moving, get moving. Everybody's infatuated about that angel. See, what looks good. See, they see something, and boy, that's wonderful what they see. They have thrown out all the things of their training. Everything they've been taught to do, what they see with their eyes becomes the most important. Oh, that Christians do that all the time. They throw out what they see with their eyes, it looks good, and all of a sudden, all that they were trained to do in the Bible, they quit doing it, and they follow, because this looks good. This must be God. Well, I'll never forget, I drove up, and I drove right up beside, and there was a crowd standing there, and there was one truck sitting here, and I pulled up beside that truck, and I remember looking over at that angel, and I looked in his face, and I knew it was a demon. I looked in his face, and I looked into his eyes, and I knew it was demonic. And in a dream, I drove off from there, and I drove up, and I drove for a while till I came to a fire base, and I told him, I said, there's an ammo convoy back there, and I said, there's this angel, and they're back there, and he has them fooled. They're back there. And that's where the dream ended. The dream ended there. Well, when I woke up, I knew what it was about. It was about these people think that they're doing something good. They think they're doing, and it's demonic what they're going to do. It's demonic what they're going to do. See, they don't see. We're trying to reach people. Oh, we want to reach people. We figured out a way to reach people. It's like the Lord told me as back when I was in church and took over youth ministry. I said, Lord, what am I going to teach them? He said, you teach them what they know. And he said this to me. Whatever you use to get them is what you're going to have to use to keep them. You always remember that. You lose lunch to get them, you'll have to feed them lunch for the rest of their darn life. Lebanon ought to know. That's all they do is run around giving people lunch. Because we love them. I ain't against giving people lunch, but you better have more gospel than lunch. But all we got's lunch. But you see, you have those things going on. See, is what happens is these people are going to go over and they're going to go out to reach people. They don't understand they're doing something demonic. Well, those same people from years past, I found out, they just got into left field. And after a while, they're just out doing secular music. You know, they're out there, you know, after a while, you know, because the people who like the secular music, see, you go out and do that, they like the secular part of it and they like being people liking them. So what do? See, you start following the flesh and after a while, you'll be in it whole hog. This is one thing is about becoming popular. Never want to become popular. If you do, you're a knucklehead. You won't be popular. You want to grow up spiritually is what you want to do. So if you do ever get popular, you'll do it without becoming carnal is crazy. Most people get to be popular, become carnal. Most Christians that become popular, become carnal.
Most ministers that I know that have had turned around and had small churches, got bigger churches, and they got bigger, they became more carnal. I knew them when they were before, and they were spiritual and walk into things of the Spirit. Today, they are doing things and doing stuff they would have never done before. And they're doing, they're allowing. Because why they become popular? People like it. And they will even tell you, well, the people like it. I've had to tell me. Well, the people like it. I said, so what do people like? What is God like? My interest is not in what you like. It's what God likes. He's the one I answer to. I don't answer to you. See, some people think, well, you answer me. No, I don't answer to you. And you shouldn't be answering to me. You should be answering to God. Come to the place, I answer to Him. That's who I answer to. No matter what you like or don't like. That can't be on the agenda, folks. You know, we want to follow God. Well, it's getting over into this stuff, you know, and so the things that are happening and these things that are going on out here is these outreaches. This is why the Lord spoke to me. And when I was in Omaha, and a lot of churches, and there's big churches in Omaha. They got all this stuff, you know, and things, and you know, a lot of hey, quote, nice people. But I just, you know, I'm out one morning where the neighborhood where my daughter lived at, I get out and just go for a walk. And I was out walking one morning and I just said to the Lord, I said, you know, because I've told you before about this, I'd asked the Lord, I said, because Kenneth Hagin talked about, he said in the areas that he would go to, he would know what the spirits were that predominantly operated in those areas. And I told the Lord, I said, I want to learn to be more sensitive in the spirit to, because sometimes there's things I pick up, but lots of times I don't, and I want to get more sensitive in that area where you understand what's operating, what you're dealing with when you're in an area. Most people don't even know what they're dealing with in their house, much less in the areas around. Like when I first started this church, the Lord showed me the demons that I deal with here in through this area, what the types you deal with. One of the things, demons are controlling demons in this area. The people want to run the churches. The people want to dominate everything, and that's why everything gets messed up. The Lord told me, you'll find that. See, they call them conservative. They're not, they're controlling. It's not conservatism. They're not conservative. They're devilish. They want things their way. And it affects their spirituality. The Lord showed me. He said, I send ministers in the area, start churches. And what happens is people end up following after the people come into the church and end up, the pastor ends up, you know, listen to what the people want to do. And he said, I don't get my plan or my purpose don't get carried out. He said, it don't happen. Because he said, they follow the people, what the people want. And he said this to me, don't you allow the spirits of the community to get in your church. Don't allow that. I've had to, over the years at times, I've had to tell people, sit down, shut up, or leave. If you want a church a certain way, there's plenty of them in the community that are going to hell. You can go to that one. Don't try to turn this one into that. I never understood why people would come to a church to try to change it to be something when there's 470 other churches doing what they want. But that's the devil. The devil will send them to try to change things so that he can have what he wants. That's what he does. And they yield to them. You know, and they don't. You know what? And I feel bad for them. They're dumb. They don't know. They're unspiritual. Always think they're so spiritual. They don't realize, they don't know what spiritually is going on at all. They don't realize they're being used. They think, oh yeah, you know. I had a woman one time, this goes back many years ago, came to our church and she said, God sent me here to tell you what to do. That's what she told me. I said, you're going to hate it here. She looked at me because I said, I ain't going to listen to you at all. I said, according to you, God's an idiot. He made me the pastor, but he told you how to run the church. I said, isn't he pretty stupid? Why wouldn't he made you the pastor if you know what to do? I said, he's pretty stupid. I said, you think God's pretty much of an idiot? And she just looked at me sort of dumb, like, well, Well, she didn't stay around. She didn't stay. She had that demon in her, had to go to another church to try to cause problems. So, I've had a guy call me one time, and I was very nice to him. He called it all, you know, but he was talking about pastors and churches, and boy, done none, and all this he knows about the ministry. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, you're out of the will of God. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're out of the will of God. I said, you know all this about what you ought to do in the church and all that stuff? I said, surely God called you to be a pastor. Why ain't you a pastor? I said, you need to start a church right away. He said, well, I'm not called. I said, what do you mean you're not called? You got to be called. You know all about it. You need to get to start a church. I said, you're in disobedience. He really started getting upset about this. I said, well, you have to be called. You know all about it. And he said, well, I'm not called. I said, yeah, you're exactly right. Shut up. You're not called. Don't know a thing about it. Keep your blab mouth shut. I did him a big favor. Because I found out later on, he was calling all kind of ministers doing this kind of stuff. After my call, he quit doing it. See, God used me to straighten the thing out. But if he went to most men, everybody kept petting him and all the poor guy. The reason so many problems go on in the church is because there is no power in Christians. They have no power to stand. It's like Brother Hagin said, God wants us to have a backbone like a crowbar, and most Christians have a backbone like a string. They won't stand for nothing. They'll let the devil come and tear up everything, trying to, oh, we're walking in love. No, you got to deal with stuff. And sometimes you just got to tell people. And if you don't tell them, you know, there's one thing, you get people out there way out in left field, they'll never listen to you till you set the bomb off. You can't sweet talk them back to the place they need to be. You got to set off an explosion. That's the only way they know to get their attention. And I found out over the years it works. You know, now, speaking of this, and I just want to read you something. Because I got this email. Now, you want to talk about, what we want to talk about, see, is we're talking about there's God. Paul tells him how God used him to reach the people. If we follow Paul's writings, now Paul, they call him missionary journeys, and really he was. Paul stood, he was an apostle, but he was also a prophet and an apostle. He stood in those two offices. Because we know from Scripture tells us that one time they were at Antioch, and it says that there was prophets and teachers were meeting together, and it lists Paul as one of them. So therefore we know he was a prophet. And he was also an apostle. But we look at his ministry and outreach. What did Paul do to reach out to people? What did he do? Did Paul get a band and got him out there? You know, hey, I got nothing against bands. And we used to use years ago, it was really good when there was a group that we used to use. I used to do street ministry. And we used to use this one group and that stuff, and they'd come along, and I mean, it's good Christian people. I mean, they play music, you know, they play gospel music. We'd go out and set up in the street, pray, and then we'd go out and preach and do stuff. And they did a really good job. I mean, we really enjoyed being with them. They weren't something flaky. They weren't something weird. You know, we're outreaching people for Jesus. But I want you to, now listen to this. I want you to listen to this, because see, people get over into stuff. I just got this. They're going to have they want to have this reaching out for people like a little crusade thing here in Lebanon. Now, the church that's sponsoring this, I found out, is very interesting, because I've heard this minister personally. I've heard him knocking, you know, the healing ministries and all this kind of stuff. He don't believe in it. But now he's behind this. Now listen, what they're behind. Now they're supposed to be, oh, we preach the gospel. Now they got this group coming in, and it's from this Nikki Cruz outreach. Now, Nikki Cruz, I don't know how many of you have heard Nikki Cruz. This goes back to Nikki Cruz. Well, this is called Nikki Cruz outreach. If Nikki Cruz was alive today, he'd be throwing up on his shoes listening to what they're doing. Listen to Nikki Cruz outreach. Listen to this. We have trained inner city gospel artists from New York City area churches in the performing arts. We use urban art forms, rap, hip hop, rhythm and blues, theater, dance, and last but not least, spoken word. Word's on the bottom of the list. He said, what? These things that we're going to do, the entertainment we're going to do as a platform. Our platform is the entertainment. That's the platform. To reach urban communities with the message of hope in Jesus. We're going to entertain the men. See, it's hard to have entertainment and tell people they're going to hell. See, they'll never tell them that. They'll never tell them their need for salvation. They'll never tell them that they're under the judgment of God and they will be judged eternally by God. See, most people get saved because they want to get a problem fixed. See, Jesus loves you. Come get your sins forgiven. Go back to your hip-hop, go back to your dance and all that kind of stuff and doing these things. You see, that's what the Lord tried to show me back years ago and that whole vision was about. When people take things of the world and try to use it to attract. See, I know a minister, big name minister, probably one of the largest churches in the Tulsa area and like Broken Arrow in through there, a very large church, huge youth ministry and that stuff. And years ago, I heard him say this. And I started to watch this guy, spirit-filled and all this kind of stuff. He said, we look and find what the world's using to reach young people. So we take that. And then he said, we just put some Christian stuff to it. And that's what we do. And this is how we reach. And when he said that, I thought, gee, the world got the best ideas. See, the power of the gospel is not powerful enough anymore. The word of God is not enough. Paul never used a dance team. Paul turned the world upside down without a dance team, without performing arts. The big lie today, the great lie of the church, today people are different. It's different today. It's different today. Yes, it is. We've made it different. We don't believe the word's powerful enough. So it don't manifest. You see, people talk around about healing and stuff. I can still get divinely healed because the word's enough. I know people that used to be able to do it can't do it today because they've bought into the world system. They bought into things. Over time, they don't believe the power of the word anymore. Over time, instead of moving toward the word, becoming stronger in the word, they move more and more over to the secular. They move more and more into that way. And the Lord spoke to me and told me about in the areas out there. And he said to me when he said about the area there where my daughter lives in the city of Omaha. He said this city is predominantly dominated by the spirit of the age. And I knew what he was talking about, because in Scripture, dealing with the spirit of the age is talking about Satan and his stuff. That's the spirit of the age. That's what operates in the world system. The age, speaking of a time period, there's a time period right now we're in. That time period's running to an end. We're coming up on the end of this time period. Whoever isn't in's out. We're running up on the end of this thing. The church world is running down to this thing, caught up generally. He said, and the Lord said this to me, he spoke to me very clearly about this. He said, it's all over the nation. He said, the majority of my churches, the majority of my people are yielded to the spirit of the age. That's what he said. That's what he told me. The majority of my churches and my people are yielded to it. They've yielded over to this thing. See, we don't understand, you know, just like, you know, I mean, back when I came into the kingdom, if you had a 1,000-member church and you took an offering, if you got $600, the pastor would have probably kicked half the people out of the church. Told them they were going to hell, a bunch of, what's wrong with you people? Today, they don't think anything of what is wrong. People aren't gracious. People don't value the word of God. Well, you can tell that church, how do they value the word of God? They didn't think it was that much important that it was preached. They found no value in it. The minister found no value in it. I would have been, if I was 1,000 people handed him a $600 check, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have handed him a $600. I would have put what my personal money into it to make that thing work. I wouldn't have accepted it. They're God. I wouldn't have them know I'm ministering a bunch of backslidden buzzards. Here's $600. But see, the spirit of the age gets in. People are just doing religious things and are doing religious stuff, and it all sounds good. It all sounds very nice. Homosexuality and things are predominant in the church. It runs rampant in the church world. Homosexuality, all this stuff, it's running rampant in the church world. And see, we need to understand these things of what's going on. It's in the church. They're in the church. They've been in the church for years. Now they've accepted them in the church. Leaderships have known of what's going on. Is over time, things have gotten changed. The spirit of the age can come in, the spirit of the age, and it started all this love stuff. It has nothing to do with the love of God. I remember I was a young Christian. The Lord spoke to me one day and says, the church thinks they love more than I do. And he began by telling me what the church puts up with. What the Bible says you're supposed to kick out and they accept in. He said, they think they're loving. See, we need this wise. You don't stay close to the Word. You get perverted. And so we know this. Most of the church world is not close to the Word of God. And the Word of God is the power of God. It's what changes people. I was an alcoholic and a druggie. And God turned me into a preacher. Dear God. I'll never forget when I went back to work and I was saved and I told people I accepted Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what. I think all the machines stopped in the factory when I said it. It was like people were like, changed, and they watched it. I remember after I got saved, I was saved for years. After I got back from Bible school, I ran into a guy I hadn't seen since high school. And he asked me what I was doing. And I told him, I'm preaching, I'm pastor of a church. And he was like, what? You? So, yeah. That's the me now. That's the me. See, most people say, I accepted Jesus, and you look at their past life and you look at their life today, it's identical. Ain't no change. It's the same old thing. Death. See, the power of the Word of God transforms people. That's why you want to sit with the Holy Ghost, say, Holy Ghost, teach me this Word. I want revelation of the Word. I want to be able to not, I don't want more information. I want to know how to do the Word. I want to know how to live this thing. I want to take, see, most people give me the information, but they aren't going to do. See, I found out from listening to Kenneth Hagin, and he used to talk about doing the Word. You got to do the Word. Smith Wigglesworth said, faith is an act. Faith's an act. It's not something we just say with our mouth. What you're saying, if you ain't acting like it's true, just forget about saying it. Hallelujah. There's many times my body's carrying on and I just say, thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. And I get smile. I'll just do, woo! And my body said, stop doing that. It hurts. But I'm going to act like it's true. I ain't going to whine and go, would you pray for me? I got this problem. I'll tell you. Why? Praying for faithlessness. What good's it going to do? Say, if you want somebody to pray, pray for me. I'll get this thing off of me now. No, I want to wind a while. If we wind good, then that's good spiritually. See, in the church, if you laugh too much, that's being carnal. But if you cry a lot, you're spiritual. Yeah. If you whine a lot, you're real spiritual. Yep. That's spirituality in the church. I know. In our church I went to as growing up a kid, my God, you'd have smiled in church. He'd probably run you off. You weren't supposed to smile in church. But you could cry. And boy, they did that. And nothing ever got fixed either. They whined and cried about a lot of stuff. Pray for me. The next time, next service, pray for me. Next service, pray for me. Every prayer service that they had, every time they go to heaven, okay, we're going to take prayer requests. Same stuff. I mean, you can throw, just get the tape recording out, you know. Tape this stuff. We just play it. Nobody has to say a thing. Just play it. We'll have the same request. Nobody's getting any answers. Nobody's getting nothing. That isn't the kingdom of God. That ain't how it works. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. See, we're not going to yield the spirit of the age. It's going on out here, folks. It's going on. It's happening. But we don't have to. We never have to yield to it. Hallelujah. That's why you stick close to the Word of God. You're safe with the Word of God. You're safe with the Word of God. You know, people are doing things and joining up. Over the years, I've watched this. People going along and doing stuff. I know being involved with ministerial groups, which I've been along with. And I always find ministerial groups. You always have, you know, they'll come along and okay, we're getting together. We're doing this and we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And you know, and there's many times I come along and say, inside I know something's wrong here. You know, what looks good to be doing? You know, and I had this take place and all the time. This one ministerial group, the lead minister, this guy, he has a 3,000 member church. If you find a need, meet it. Now I want you to think about that. Find a need? My God, there'd be a million of them running you over. Needs of people. But you can't go out. I'm not called to meet everybody's need. I have people call me and they say, well, you're a pastor. I want to talk to you. And I tell them, see, I'm not your pastor. You don't come to my church. I'm not your pastor. I'm a pastor. But I said, the Lord told me this. You don't counsel people who won't come to your church and sit down and listen to the teaching. Why? Because it ain't going to do any good. It ain't going to do any good. They're going to call, what I tell them don't suit them, they're going to call somebody else. It doesn't do any good. And the Lord said, don't counsel them. You don't do that. You tell them to come to church. So I tell people, come to church. Well, I say, you want to talk to me? First, I'm going to talk to you. You come and sit down in a chair, and I'm going to talk to you for a while, okay? We're going to be doing that one. What do you think? Well, no, I don't have time. Well, I said, I don't have time for you either. Goodbye. You know, we don't have time for this. There's no point going on in this nonsense. No point going on in this thing. But see, I tell them, they say, well, you're a pastor. But I'm not sure. I'm not a pastor to everybody. I'm a pastor to the flock who comes here. I am not a pastor. No pastor is a pastor to everybody. Oh, they lie and act like they are. But it ain't true. You're not a pastor to everybody. You're a pastor to the flock. You know, a shepherd ain't a shepherd of some other guy's sheep. I ain't a shepherd of the devil's sheep. I got sheep and not goats. Goat herds, we got plenty of goat herders here in town. People want to be a goat? My God, there's plenty of goat flocks around out here. Join one of them. Dear God. You can go around there and buddy each other and do whatever they want. Have a good time. But see, people need us. This is where to find and knowing what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to be into. What are you doing? See, people don't know. They never take time to ever find nothing out. And I just know inside, you know, about things to do. And I'd find out later on, yeah, they went and did it, but it was a mess. It didn't. They wouldn't listen. Why? Wasn't because I was so spiritual from the standpoint. I just learned to listen to my own spirit where the Holy Ghost's in there. And I had a sense that, no, don't do that. But they turn around. And what happens is people start getting big and big in ministry. Did you ever notice this? And I've noticed like television. You get somebody on TV and they start getting big. And after a while, as they go on in time, they have about 47 different projects that they're doing. Raising money for all these different things and all this stuff is going on. Most of that, God never told them to do it. But they can raise the money for it. All of them love to bring money in. You know, we're going to start feeding the poor. We're going to have an orphanage. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And they do it because it brings money in. Number one, that will bring money in faster than preach the gospel. Most Christians won't give money for the gospel. But you just showed them a picture of a skinny kid. And man, I'm going to tell you what, they can't wait to get their money out because now I feel wonderful. You know, I'm feeding a child. And sometimes those children don't even exist. They don't even exist. Big name minister. Used to always raise money for... Down in Haiti, he has his orphanage. He never had an orphanage in Haiti, down in Haiti. He would go down and pay a guy something like $50,000 who had an orphanage. And that guy would let him put a sign up to take pictures. And they would take pictures of his ministry's name over it. And this is how this guy operated this orphanage. All these different ministries would go down there and they would make their sign and put up, take a picture. The sign comes down. And they were doing that for years. And this guy was making good money, but he was actually the guy running the orphanage. And he let all these big name ministers would lie and come down there and come on TV and tell you, we have this orphanage down here in Haiti. I don't believe people because they tell me stuff. I don't care who they are, just because they tell me stuff. Nobody ever checks nothing out. See, I'm one of these nosy guys. You tell me something, you might find out I want to check if you are. I don't support any ministry that I don't know what they do. I don't care what guy, some guy comes and preaches me and tells me what he did. I'm going to find out. There's people where he's at. I'll find out. And there's a lot of liars out there. There's a lot of liars. And you know what? Those liars live good off of dumb Christians. Because all you do is tell a Christian a story they want to hear. And their wallets are out. And they're, I'm helping. Oh, I'm just doing such nice stuff. We live in a very deceptive world. And what is a shame is Christians are the most gullible. Satan can so easily manipulate because people don't listen to their spirits. People don't listen to the inside. There's people I know that have absolutely wonderful ministries doing good things, but I'm not called to be doing what they're doing. I'm not called to be helping them. You know, I've learned this, and the Lord had told me this, and I've worked it with this all the time. If somebody is doing a real good job in an area of ministry, I will much rather help them to expand what they do than me duplicating a ministry. We waste huge amounts of money, and everybody wants to have their own orphanage and their own thing here, their own thing there. If they would put money in, they could take care. You know, because when you have all these different ones, it eats up more money than if you just have one centralized thing doing it. You know, it's just like here in the community. All these churches want to do their outreach thing. Well, why not just go down here and give the rescue mission the money? They already got the system running. What on earth chase around and have to get your own thing going so we can get our name on it so people know, gee, look what we do. I don't have to have my name on nothing. I don't need my name on anything to feel good. Jesus Christ knows Ed's name. Yeah, that's what counts. Jesus Christ knows my name. When we step into eternity, folks, He knows me personally. He ain't going to say, who are you? Where'd you come from? Well, you just made it, didn't you? Hallelujah. See, I'm not building a kingdom here. I am not building a kingdom here. I'm watching this stuff. But you know, if somebody's doing something good, I'd rather take them. If God puts it in my heart, I help them do it. I help, get them the help to do what they're doing. We just have so much duplication and stuff and things that is just nonsense. It's absolutely crazy. And it eats up a lot of money. I mean, we do it in the natural from our school systems to you name it. All of our school systems here in Pennsylvania, we got all these 47,000 different school systems, and each one of them, and you know, we want to run our own thing here, and all of them are paying for all these top-notch people and all that stuff. Half this stuff ought to be run by counties. Schools ought to be set under a county. Then you'd only have one superintendent. You ain't paying for 12 superintendents out here, giving them all $200,000 a year, eating up tax money to do the same old thing that the other one would do. See, we have this all this stuff we do, and we do it, it's nonsense. But we all got to have our own thing, you know. We just want to, you know, I got to get my name on something. We wouldn't have, you know, 47 crazy school board members. You know, we could only have maybe 8-10 school board members instead of all them other. You know, it's easier to handle crazy 10 than it is, you know, 200 crazy. Isn't it? I mean, it's just... I feel they don't think that way. You know why? Because it makes sense. People are more interested in having their tag and label, and the church is the same way, getting their tags and labels on things. We don't have to have a tag and label on anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do the will of God. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord God, for your kindness and your mercy, because, oh, Lord, you put up with all of us. You're still so gracious and kind, Lord God. Lord, you keep sending out warnings to people. Lord God, Lord, we live in an age, and I just thank you to be able to be among people who have a great desire to follow you. Lord God, it is wonderful to be among people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, many times, and I know you can almost feel alone, but Lord, we ain't alone. Hallelujah. You're with us. And Lord, I want to thank you. There are people all over this nation. There are ones. There's a remnant of people. Lord God, even in some churches that seem to be heading in the wrong direction, there's people within those, a remnant of people who are still after you. There's always ones that are searching. There's always ones that are looking for you. And I thank you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray today that you strengthen them with might by the Spirit of God in their inner man's, Lord God, that they'll stand firm concerning the Word of God. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, give us wisdom and understanding, Lord God, that Jesus Christ, and who is the Word of God, but the Word of God would be magnified above all, that it would stand, Lord God, that it would be our standard, it's just like with our nation and our Constitution, that the Word is the Constitution of the Kingdom of God, and we will stand, Lord God, we will not be moved, and we will only judge by the Word of God, hallelujah, and walk and live a life based upon that Word. And I thank you, Father God. Lord, we're not going to allow the spirit of this age to dominate us and rule us. I want to thank you, Lord God, that Satan cannot be hidden in this time. The Lord God, the evil that's going on, and even, Lord God, concerning our present, the people, the things that people have done. I thank you the things that are hidden in darkness are coming to light in the name of Jesus. I thank you the things that have been hidden in darkness in the church world are coming to light in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for judgment upon ones who have been bringing deception into the church, Lord God, ones who have been following and refusing, and you've been speaking to them, Lord God. There's ones you've been talking to, but they keep refusing. Lord God, I thank you that they'll be judged, removed from their positions and their places. Lord God, that the people will hear the truth again, and the truth will make people free. Father God, Father, our desire is that the glory goes through, Lord God. And there's only one that we give glory to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one that we magnify. Jesus, you are our salvation. You are our deliverance. There is no other. We will accept the glory of no other concerning our salvation. Lord God, it is, thank God, the Lord, that there's people who have preached that gospel to us. But Lord God, it's your word that saved us, not them. It's your word, hallelujah, that they delivered to us, that gave us the power to stand up in this day and time. And we see clearly because of the word. We understand. Lord God, we're a people of wisdom. Hallelujah. We're a people of understanding. And Lord God, we can take the word, we can apply it and do it. And your glory is revealed. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we expect mighty things. We expect glorious things. Lord, just as Apostle Paul, he preached, he said he didn't come with excellence of speech. Lord, it isn't about excellent speech. We don't want excellent speech. We want the power of the Word of God in demonstration in its glory, Lord God. That men are gripped by the glory of God and the Word of God that changes man. And we thank you, Father God, for what the Word of God will do and continue to do in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.